Our most gracious Father in heaven, indeed our hearts are filled with joy that today is the day of rest which thou hast ordained, that we should keep holy and to worship thee. And how we thank thee for the worship service just now, where we can hear thy words, and indeed thy words are words of everlasting life, thy words are words of truth. And so, Lord, we want to continue seeking thee in thy word. And truly, O Lord, we pray that thou would grant us good understanding and of thy word that you have given unto us. And not just a good understanding, but help us also to have humble hearts, to believe and to obey. And surely, O Lord, we know that thy words are perfect, thy words are very good, are profitable unto us. And so help us, O Lord, may this time of learning abound unto thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 to 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 to 17. We continue our study of this epistle, the epistle that reveals the heart of the Apostle Paul and heart open wide. Verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Verse 6, please read responsively. So that, contrarywise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Together, verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Remember and recall the lessons that we have learned earlier before these verses. 2 Corinthians began on a very comforting note, whereby the Apostle Paul directed the Corinthian Christians to look toward the God of all comfort. And why did he do so? Well, because in his life, and also in the life of the Corinthian Christians, they were undergoing much suffering. And Paul was very aware that in the Corinthian church, there were many who were suffering and who were undergoing a lot of emotional and physical stress because of the various problems that are found in this growing church. Right, 1 Corinthians, remember, right? Growing church, but a lot of growth pains. They may have grown in numbers, but in terms of their spiritual maturity, many of them were still like babes. And because of that, many problems in the church once includes the sectarian spirit, which if you read 2 Corinthians, you will realize that while some of the problems are solved, there is still a certain sectarian spirit, but namely those led by the false teachers. And many scholars will agree they are probably Jewish Christians, right? Maybe trying to bring in perhaps the same kind of heresies or teachings that you see, right, written in the book of Galatians. And these caused the church to be very fragmented, and with lots of issues, right? Lots of division. And so those Christians who are mature, those Christians who really truly desire to see the Corinthian church grow, they are very disturbed, and they face a lot of stress. And so Paul had to direct them, look to the God of all comfort. Just as how the God of all comfort has also comforted me in the midst of my sufferings, and that these sufferings I suffered is because of your sakes, also for Christ's sake and for your sake, right? And this should set an example for all. So that very comfort which I have received, that same comfort also extends to you, because we are all brethren in Christ. Yes, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we abound in suffering. But the same truth also applies that as we abound in suffering, so we will also abound in the consolation of Christ. Right? Christ will not leave you comfortless. So go to Him. Right? And that is very good advice from the Apostle Paul. Having comforted them, then he went straight into the issue that really he wants to address here in this book, and that was with regards to Paul. He was under attack. Yes, as the apostle who is under attack, it's very hard for him to minister. Why? Because if he did not defend his apostleship, then people will not listen to the words, right, which he has written for them to learn. And so he had to defend himself. And one of the charges they had for him is, look, Apostle Paul, you are not a trustworthy person. Why? Because you say that initially you plan it to be this way, and then you change your plan. Initially you wanted to visit us, but you did not come to visit us. You only visited us later. And when you so Paul had to defend himself, right? This was the charge of some of the false teachers, and then he says, yes, indeed, this was the plan. I really truly wanted to go down, but somehow the Lord make it impossible for me to go down. The Lord closed the door. And so, Deo volente, right, God willing. And that was exactly what he said in his letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. God willing, I will come to you. But the Lord did not open that way, and so he was not able to come. Moreover, right, with regards to this charge of trustworthiness, when I'm in the midst of you, did I not conduct myself with integrity? And most importantly, right, with regards to the preaching, right, to the preaching which we preach unto you, you know that the message is a message that is faithful to the Holy Scriptures. And unless you want to charge God to be somebody who goes against his promise, which he is not, right? In him all the promises are yea and amen. So unless you say God is a God that is not trustworthy. Otherwise, if the message is preached directly from God's word, then why then do you say that we are not trustworthy? Everything that we say and we do is all according to what is written in God's word. And so he ended off with that. And then so he went on, especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's good for us to look at verses 1 to 4 first before we carry on with verse 5. And what do you say in verses 1 to 4? But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Now, this would refer to his very painful visit, the second visit, right, which was very painful for him, right, to the Corinthian church. And so, he said, if the next time I come to you for this third visit, I do not want to come to you with that kind of painful spirit and with that kind of sorrow anymore. And the last time, indeed, when I came, right, because I had to address matters, indeed, I made you sorry. But now there is this particular person who was made sorry, who is now making me glad. And so now I'm writing this same to this thing unto you, right? So that, you know, out of this particular situation that has happened, that there will be no more sorrow with regards to any situation anymore. Right. The last time when I wrote to you, yes, I did so with much affliction. Right. So he talks about a severe visit, also talks about a severe letter. Right. I wrote unto you with much affliction, much anguish of heart. Right. And I did this because I love you. Because otherwise, I would not have written such a severe letter, you know, to all of you. You know, recently I was talking to one of my teachers, and then one of the students came back to visit this teacher. And then this student told the teacher and said, "Oh, I remember you, and I remember you fondly because you always scold us." And then this teacher said, "Yeah, of course, it's true. Nowadays, who will scold you? Like, indeed, it's true, right? Everybody wants to be Mr. Nice Guy, and nobody wants to be the one that scolds. But this teacher scolds, and in the end, after this student went back for so long and then came back, I was very thankful to this teacher, realized that whatever said was very good for him in the ministry. But of course, when the teacher scolds, sometimes we think that the teacher really likes to scold. But actually, inside the heart, a lot of affliction. And we talk about how parents scold their child. Sometimes the children think, parents' favorite activity is scolding children. But it's not really when the parents scold. A lot of times we do not see the kind of anguish and the kind of pain that lies behind the mother or the father's heart. And so this is exactly the heart of Paul down here. But when I did so, when I wrote these letters, when I came to visit you, it's really out of this kind of love, right, which I have more abundantly unto you. And so that was the context. And so you go on to verse 5. Here he says, "But if any have caused grief..." Yes, indeed, there was much affliction and much anguish in the heart. "But if any have caused grief..." Now, this word "if" here, please take note, it is a first-class condition. It's a first-class condition statement. What do we mean by first-class condition? In other words, it assumes that whatever is stated is true. So here, when he says, "But if any have caused grief," doesn't mean that Paul perhaps have grief or do not have grief, right? Paul indeed did suffer grief in his heart. It is true, he was grief in the heart. Yet he says, "Yes, even though I have been caused grief, yet he hath not grieved me." So what is Paul actually trying to say? Well, we can only understand this if we carry on reading what Paul says later on in the next part of the verse. "But in part..." Now, when Paul says "but in part," what do he mean by "in part"? Now, some people say "but in part" means it affected not just Paul, but some of the people in the church. Well, that is one possible interpretation. Right? Another possible interpretation is this: "He have not grieved me, but also the whole church to a certain extent." Now, these two interpretations are all very acceptable. But one thing we can gather from here, which we need to understand, is this: is that when a person sins against God, sometimes the person may see as though he or she is the only one that is affected. But actually, right, this sin, right, which was committed, also affects the community, also affects the body of Christ. And it's not just the pastor or the leaders who are affected, but everybody in the church. Everybody in the church suffers. That is what verse 5 is trying to say. And what Paul is trying to say here is that, well, last time this situation happened, a lot of you suffered. I don't want you all to suffer any longer. And so therefore, I'm going to give this advice. Now the question is this, who is the person that Paul is referring to here which have caused grief, not just to himself, but also to the church? Now, there are two views to this, okay? And these two views, like let me read to you first, right? The two views. First view is the incestuous man of 1 Corinthians 5:1. Remember that man that had to undergo discipline? Well, that man, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They say, well, this man that grieved, and then after that, later on, right, make Paul's heart glad, well, it's this man. Now, secondly, they say that this person could be a person who led the church in questioning Paul's apostleship, but later repented. Right, so which one is it? Well, I have here Dr. Koo's book. And Dr. Koo tends more to the first view, right? That is the incestuous man. That is the traditional view of scholars looking into 2 Corinthians. But recently, there are also people who say that he is a person who led the church in questioning Paul's apostleship. And I have here down here another book. I would highly recommend this book also if you are able to get A Heart Open Wide. That's where I had the title, right? A Heart Open Wide. Not original, it's from him actually, Homer Kent. Right, Homer Kent Jr. Writes very simply, right, studies in 2 Corinthians. This person, Homer Kent Jr., is the teacher of Dr. Koo. Right, in Grace Theological Seminary. Now, he also says, there are these two views, we cannot be dogmatic. Dr. Koo says, there are these two views, we cannot be dogmatic, but Homer Kent tends towards the second view. That is, this is a person who led the church in questioning Paul's apostleship. So, which one is it? That's the question. Well, I'm also of the view that we cannot be dogmatic because there are not enough evidence to be very certain about it. But I tend towards the traditional view, right? That this would be the man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 who underwent discipline and then later repented. And if that is so, this would be the sequence of events, okay? Now, what would exactly be the sequence of events, right? Now, remember that Paul originally received an oral report from either the members of Chloe's household and also from Stephanus, Fortunatus, or Archaeus, right? That is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, right? Concerning this particular situation that has developed in the church, whereby this man slept with his own stepmother. A sin that's not even named among the among the Gentiles. And so, the Apostle Paul was very disturbed that the church allowed it to continue. It was so permissive. Nothing was dealt with it. And so, and this was despite him having wrote an earlier letter, that is 1 Corinthians, right, to the congregation. And so, Paul had to write 2 Corinthians, which is actually 1 Corinthians. Right? I hope you all remember. How many letters, Daniel? How many letters to the Corinthian church? Of which we have two. How many letters? Oh no, Daniel still need to look. Right, four letters. Okay, so I hope you remember. Right, four letters. So 1 Corinthians, he wrote, please discipline this person. Ignore. So 2 Corinthians, he had to write again. Please discipline this person. Of which, what happened? When Timothy arrived in Corinth, he found that the offender, both undisciplined and unrepentant, Timothy returned to Ephesus, reported this state of affairs to Paul. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. After that, went down again for a second visit. And instead of them accepting the Apostle Paul, we know that this second visit was a very painful visit. They rejected the Apostle Paul. And then mounted a strong personal attack against him, of which some of it is found here in 2 Corinthians. He will talk about it. And this also included this particular person who mounted an attack. So this particular person, knowing that he's going to be disciplined, or that Paul was advocating discipline, mounted an attack on the Apostle Paul, thinking that and then some of the arguments he used were the arguments that we read or studied earlier on in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, saying that, oh, it's untrustworthy. And then he used the arguments also from the Jewish, false Jewish Christian teachers against the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul, expecting the members to defend him, instead found the entire church against him. And so the Apostle Paul went back. He had to withdraw from the situation. He had to return to Ephesus, and his heart was so painful. And then in the end, he had to write 3 Corinthians, right, which was the very severe and very, very painful letter, in which he rebuked the Corinthians for their failure to come to his defense, failure to not only to come to his defense, but failure to listen to God's word and to do what is right. And then after that, as we learn from this particular situation, he became very, very anxious about Titus. Why? Because likely Titus was the bearer of this severe letter. And then Titus did not return. So, how? What happened? Are they going to reject me after I write such a severe letter, or are they going to accept me? And then, well, thank God, in the end, the good news is they accepted and they did what was right. And then finally, they meted out the right judgment. And lo and behold, this particular person now is repentant. And so now what? Right? That would be how the timeline would work if it involves the offender that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Otherwise, if you take the second option, it's also rather simple. It happened that when he go down, right, you know, part of the problem in the Corinthian church was there are many of all these false teachers. So one particular one stood up against him, and then he had to answer all the queries of this particular person. Then this particular person in the end repented, right? So this was exactly what the Apostle Paul had to go through. And so how to respond when you try to minister? And this is something that not only leaders will have to face, but in fact, as long as you want to remain godly in the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to remain faithful in the service of the Lord, this is something that you have to face. As long as you want to do things faithfully and according to God's word, you will realize that sometimes people would in fact come and then attack and then question your motives. They will. It's something you will have to accept. It will happen. If they have this kind of attack against the Apostle Paul, what makes you think that you will not receive the same kind of attack? You will. It will come. It will happen. The question is, how do you respond to this kind of attack that matters? And especially if you are found as, for example, a fellowship group leader, is especially if you are the head of the house, or if you are in a church leader, all the more, this is how you should respond. And your response must be exactly like that of the Apostle Paul, who says, but if any have caused grief, yes, indeed, he has caused me grief. Yet at the same time, first, let us first understand that this grief which he has caused is not only just to your heart, but also affected the entire church congregation. It will happen. And so, when the book of Ecclesiastes says, one sinner doeth much damage, it is really true. It is really true. It will happen. And so, what Paul is trying to say down here is this. I'm not just trying to write because I am grieved. I am writing this because I know that this entire situation has grieved you very deeply, because you wanted to now do what is right. And so, now I'm going to try and set things right now. And so, please, one thing that we can learn from here, besides from the leaders and whatever perspective, is this. With regards to each and every one of our personal life, make sure we guard our life very closely. Do not just think that your life is something that is separated from your brethren. And that, okay, like, if I do anything wrong, it's only affect me, it won't affect anyone. It is not true. It is not true. Okay, it will affect everyone to a certain extent. And the hearts of people would be grieved. And then this kind of situation that you see in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians will occur. So firstly, don't let that happen. But let's say if we do, then how? Okay, in this particular situation, everything is done already. Now they are very grieved, right? But what happened was that after they meted out this judgment to this particular man repented. So now what? What to do? If let's say he's repent. He has repented. So the key here is this. Take note. This man has shown fruits of repentance. Now, if this man hasn't shown fruits of repentance, please don't use 2 Corinthians and say, oh, okay, in this case, accept this particular person back. No, okay? Understand this first. This person has shown fruit of repentance. And how do we know this? Because here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, earlier on, he says, this person has made me glad. Right? That's what Paul says. This person has made me glad. And later on in 2 Corinthians, you will see that this particular person has a godly sorrow and really indeed returned back to the Lord. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if I'm not wrong. So, this is the key, okay? This person has repented. Now, if this person has not repented also, how do you react? That is the question, okay? Now, look at verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So, what happened was this. Church discipline was meted out. This particular person has repented, and then this fruits of repentance has already been proven. But now this church went to the other extreme, whereby this person has repented, but we don't want to receive him back anymore because of what he has done. Right? Don't want to receive him. And this caused further division in the church. Don't want to receive him. So how to react? Verse 7. So contrarywise, he ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. Now take note again, this person is someone who has already shown fruit of repentance. Now, with regards to a person who has not shown fruit of repentance, how to react? Of course, we must always be ready to forgive a particular person. Whatever wrong that is done, we must forgive. Except for, of course, one thing. If the person attacks the word of God and then all kinds of heresy, all kinds of apostasy, then that one is not upon us to forgive because it's against God. Right? It's against God. I'm no position of God to forgive you. That is very different. But in this case, this talks about a sin committed to the community. How should the community respond? Now, the community should always extend out forgiveness. No matter what the case, extend out forgiveness. Very important. And that is something that really will show the mark of whether or not the congregation is mature. First, in the heart, nothing held against the person anymore. Now, whether or not then the person will receive the blessings that come from this forgiveness is up to that particular person. Because if that particular person, just like what we heard in John chapter 8 today, right? If that particular person, let's say he repents and come back, then okay, very good. All is forgiven already. Go and sin no more. Right? Of course, when he say go and sin no more, doesn't mean that there are no consequences of sin. No, because for certain sins, which are public, for example, if somebody who is in the leadership have committed something that is very evil, right? Or let's say a Sunday school teacher has committed something that is very evil and very public. This particular Sunday school teacher may never be able to teach Sunday school again, even though they may be received back into the congregation. Right? It may be an ordinary member seated down there, and then after that he may be able to serve in other areas in the church, but not the teaching ministry anymore. So sometimes certain things have this kind of consequences, but they are still forgiven, they are still received. Okay? But whether or not they will be received back into the congregation is whether or not that particular person has truly shown forth fruit of repentance. Okay, understand this. Now, however, in this particular case, what happened was that this person shown fruit of repentance, and yet the people do not want to receive him back. That is the question. Okay, so understand this. And so he says this. So contrarywise, he ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So in this particular case, this particular person really wanted to return back to the congregation of the saints, but not able to return back because the people still rejected him. Okay, very different case altogether. Okay? Wherefore, I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him, for to this end also did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. So you are obedient in meeting out discipline. Now, will you be in obedient to receive back and to forgive someone who indeed has already turned away from his sin? That would be the next step. Because when we talk about obedience is not It's not halfway, no. Halfway and then say, okay, discipline, and then after that, forgiveness, no, I don't want. It cannot be like this. This is really the test. The problem with being in church leadership is this, because this kind of problems, if let's say if you want to come into church leadership and election is coming soon, right, God willing, next year election is coming soon, so this is something good which everybody should know, whether or not you are a leader or you are not a leader, right? If you are a leader, then you have to be aware this is your responsibility. If you are not a leader, please pray for your leaders, because well, this is not something easy to do. Because as a leader, when certain situations happen, can you go rightly according to God's principle and then not go to the left or go to the right? No, sometimes go to the left, what does it mean? Go to the left means, aya, do nothing lah. Just let it happen lah. Hopefully the situation will die down lah. Right? Then you go to the right is, okay lah, we make out all this judgment lah, everything lah. Then this particular person, whatever happens to him, bye-bye lah, just go away lah. I don't care about you anymore. Either extreme, you cannot. And so, therefore, how to meet out something that is very fair, very just, and yet very merciful and very compassionate. Wow, very difficult. Am I frightening anyone from coming to church leadership? But that is exactly the case. And that is really something which you can only do if the Lord helps. And therefore, please also pray for those that are your leaders. Very important, because this is not something that is easy. This is reality presented here in 2 Corinthians, which oftentimes people do not want to accept, but this is reality. This kind of problems will occur. And whoever is God has appointed as the leader, you must be prepared. Firstly, to suffer the way Paul has suffered, people will accuse you of anything. Whatever you do, whether right or wrong, if people accuse you, you better say, okay, I'm really wrong. But if you're right, please do not think that nobody will accuse you. They still will. Okay, but how to deal with it? Deal with it the way Paul did. He forgave the person. He was very ready to forgive. Oh, he has caused me grief, but it's okay. I've already forgiven him. But what concerns me is that he has also grieved the church, and now I want this grief to end. Okay, that must be the kind of attitude. Then with regards to any one of you down here, please also pray for your leaders. It is difficult. They have difficult decisions to make according to God's word. And every situation that they face, yes, of course, this is one particular situation down here in 2 Corinthians. But every situation must be dealt differently. And when we talk about dealt differently, please don't misunderstand that what we mean is that principles shift. No, the principles are the same, but every situation, the context is different. You apply the same principles of the Bible and deal with it wisely. Okay, that is very important. Okay? Now, for this end also, did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient to all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I in the person of Christ. So does that mean he forgive because the Corinthian Christians want to forgive? Now, that's not what he meant, okay? What Paul is trying to say is that, you see, whoever who is deserving of forgiveness, right, and here we mean deserving of forgiveness, that means the full extent of the blessing of forgiveness, I have already long did it, because as the leader, I must be the first to set the example to forgive. And this, do it, why? Not because of anybody, but because that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in our life. And today, in fact, it is a very perfect situation, because this planning of having this passage is, it's all along just been done this way, right? Well, how much we can cover, we just cover. It's very good that today, this morning, we had John 8. You just see John 8, you just see the way the Lord Jesus Christ did. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in our life. Those of us who has received his forgiveness. We are no different from the adulterous woman, really. And we have received that from this forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. So now with respect to this person who has sinned against the community, if let's say he has truly show forth the fruit of repentance, right? He or she has truly show forth the fruit of repentance, then we must be prepared to receive. We must. We must. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive, for your sakes forgive I in the person of Christ. Why must we forgive? Because verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage for of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Okay, so if this particular person truly has repented of sin, and then you want to eject him out of the committee, what is going to happen to him? He will have nowhere to fellowship, you know, nowhere he can turn. No. Which Bible believing community will he go to? He will have nothing. He or she will have nothing. And not only that, but this will cause the entire community of God to be divided. Why is he or she not around? Satan has already done his work. Satan has already succeeded in dividing the particular congregation and destroying its witness. And so therefore, be on the guard. Don't let such things happen. Don't let such things happen. Very real. Now, this is with regards to a person who has received, who has shown forth the fruit of repentance. But what happens if the person does not and show forth the fruit of repentance? And the only way we can receive back the particular person in this way is this, is that in the first place, in our hearts, we have really, truly already forgiven him. But otherwise, you cannot. When the particular person really returns, you will not want to receive the person because your heart is already, your heart, you still have not forgiven him. So that is something that we need to understand. But now, if that particular person have not show forth fruit of repentance, then what will happen? That is something that is not answered here, but we will also have to answer. If not, then how? Then in no way can we receive back that person. That is very, very important, because if you receive back that person, then you are exactly condoning sin. You are allowing Satan to enter into the congregation to destroy everyone again. You cannot do that. You cannot. And so that is how we need to approach things with regards to this particular, all these kind of situations. That is something that we have to understand. Okay. Don't let Satan take an advantage for us. Be very careful of his various devices, because he will seek to sieve everyone like wheat. And so everybody needs to respond in a very mature and very biblical way. Right? So take note of all these things and settle in the heart. So with regards to forgiveness, therefore, right? Please understand this doctrine very well. And really, right, to be able to forgive is something that you need the Holy Spirit to help. So take note of these things. And if you are a leader, all the more you must set an example, because people will attack, and when people attack you, and then people after that they repent. Higher. I remember this person last time, five years ago he attacked me. 5 years ago he attacked me. I must make sure I return him back fourfold. You know, preacher Andrew Cole, last time he said something about me, right? Preacher Andrew Cole, wow, he say about me, you know. Wow, and then, I know he repent, but then I must make sure I get back at him fourfold. It can easily happen, no? It can easily happen. So you must guard yourself very carefully. Okay? Be very wise, be very mature. But, and again, don't go to the other extreme. The person have not repented. So long already, after 5 years. 5 years already, lah. Aiyah, never mind lah. Anyway, time heal all wounds, right? Never mind lah. Aiyah, accept him back lah. But then he has never repented of his... He has never repented of sin, and then you accept back. Wow, you really die. You come in, you will create havoc in the church. Really die. That time finish. Okay? So understand this. So this was something that happened in the Corinthian church. And Paul says, well, the only way you can let everything might be resolved, right? There will be no more sorrow, no more grief is in You can only resolve it in this way, right? You must be prepared. Otherwise, the grief will continue. So take note. Then you come to verse 12. Then he carries on explaining, okay? Because his defense still not over, right? His whole epistle is his defense. So he now come back to verse 12. And then he explains this. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, right? So he continues to explain his itinerary, right? I was led by Christ to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. And indeed, right, Christ has opened up this door for me in Troas to be able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you would think that Paul is very happy, right? I go there, wow, this door is open effectively. Effectively unto me, oh, now there's this good work which I can do for the Lord down here. But there was still no peace in Paul's heart. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. Why? Because he was the one who took the severe letter to the Corinthian church, and then he has not returned. So what does this show us about the Apostle Paul? Well, even when the Corinthian Christians did all these things to him, remember this was after the severe and painful visit, right? And then he wrote a severe letter unto them, right? Then even though when he wrote all these severe things inside the heart, wow, even though he's away, wow, his heart and his concern was still for the Corinthian church, right? He did not die. Will they do what is right? Will they come back to the Lord? Aiyah, what is going to happen? No rest. I do not know whether some of you have ever gone through this before, whereby you care for someone before, and then even though the Lord directed you into certain areas of service, or perhaps you go to work, right? Work is also an area of service, right? And then when you go to work, and then the Lord, while you're at work, the Lord grants you good success and then also brings you people to whom you can minister to. And then, well, everything was very open at work. And yet your heart is still thinking about this particular situation that it's occurred because you're so concerned about this other person. I think parents would know it very well. You go to work, the work there, you can minister to your colleagues and everyone. And then the Lord opened the heart of your colleague. Well, should be very happy, right? A great and effectual door is open. But then at home, hey, my son, he every time never do his homework, he's not working for the Lord. Concerned or not? Will you be concerned? I mean, it's something like that. You go to work in the workplace, well, very effective, good witness in the workplace. But your heart is still where? Your heart is still back at home because at home your son is disobedient. Right? And then before you left home, you told your son, hey, son, please do this. Please do this. And then you wrote a very, oh, cannot be write a severe letter, very strange. In the morning, write severe letter, then you score your son very severely. You better do your homework. You better do for the Lord. Otherwise, I come home, I will cane you. Then as you go to work, what will my son do? Will my son rebel? Will my son lock himself in the room and then don't allow me to come in? Will he still continue to play his computer games? Will he turn the whole house upside down? I mean, you will ask yourself these kind of questions, right, as you go there. Even in the midst of doing your work, everything is so smooth, everything is very good. You still would think of home. Why? Because your heart is for your son. So same, this is exactly what Paul is like, right? He's somewhere, the Lord has given him particular success in this particular ministry, but because his heart was still back at the Corinthian church. Despite all the various problems, despite these various headaches, still there. That is Paul, okay? The heart of the parent. So he has no rest, but he cannot wait there anymore. So he took leave of them. He went to Macedonia, right? Macedonia, that is the area of Philippi and so on, right? And so he went there. And then what happened? Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So he broke off. He did not say the conclusion. But later on in the book of, in this particular episode, we learn, well, very good. He did indeed meet with Titus in Macedonia, and then Titus brought him Good news, good news. They receive your letter very well. And this indeed is happening. And some of the problems which you address in 1 Corinthians and try to address in your severe letter, they are now solved. Now they are yearning for you to return. Paul, when are you going to return? Right? Later on we will see that. But in the midst here, he leaves us in suspense. Okay, so down here. Right, I went to Macedonia and then I wait. And here he says, now why did he write here? Now thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph in Christ. Well, all these things not easy for the Apostle Paul. All this kind of wrenching of the heart. And yet to be able to continue in service. Now, sometimes all these kinds of wrenching of the heart will come into service. As long as you try to faithfully serve, all these things will come. And it will come because this is what is written in the Holy Scriptures, the godly in Christ will suffer persecution. It will come. But this how you handle this heart-wrenching thing is very important. To never allow it to go into depression or to allow it to move you away from Christ, because if you do so, that is exactly what Satan wants. He would very much want to see you move away from Christ. He will very much want to see you not do the right thing. He will, for example, for the Apostle Paul, all these things happen in Corinthian church, right? Well, if I can stop Paul from serving, if I can stop Paul from going to Troas, if I can stop Paul from going to Macedonia, if I stop him from serving at all, I have succeeded because this Apostle Paul is causing big damage to my plans. Don't let that happen. And the only way you can don't let that happen is if you continue to anchor yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be your comfort. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be the one that will allow you to be victorious. He's the only one that can. No one else. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the Apostle Paul, why was he able to continue his service? Because of the comfort that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ which granted him the victory. And so therefore in verse 14 he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always. Always means always. Not some, not most, but always. And so he must be the person that you go to, and he must be the person that will, and he will be the person to grant you that victory. Right, and he will make us to the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. In other words, as Paul went about, and together with associates, despite all the problems, because they depended, the person that they depended upon is Christ, and so they can continue to effectively minister, and the savor of their weakness continues to be experienced everywhere they went. So therefore, verse 15 now. Verse 15 and verse 17, something that is very deep and yet something that we need to understand. Okay, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, of course. Every one of us is, right? As long as we are Christians and we are walking close to God, everywhere we go, we will emit this kind of sweet fragrance that everybody would would be the sweet fragrance of the gospel. In them they are saved, and in them they are perished. And in them that perish. Now, watch. We are the sweet savor. In them they are saved, and in them they are perished. So there are two groups of people. One group of people are those that are ordained unto salvation. And another group of people are those that are ordained to perish. So two groups of people. Okay, take note. And to the one, we are the savor of death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. Wow, very deep. So what exactly is Paul saying? Now, you will notice that down here, there is some people will call a chiastic structure. Right. The first session, A, will be this, right? In them they are safe. Second section. In them that perish. Now, in them that perish, what happened to those that will perish, that be ordained to perish? They will be the savor of death unto death. So savor of death. Maybe what I should write is this one, I should write in blue so they can see. In them that perish, savor of death. In them they are saved. What kind of savor? Savor of life. Savor of life unto life. Two different groups of people, two different reactions to the preaching of the Apostle Paul and his associates. And that is something that you must expect. And in the ministry, whichever you are, you serve faithfully, that is exactly it. You serve faithfully to them who are truly saved, to them who are true believers, they will find your ministry a real blessing, and something that is very sweet because they experience the sweetness of Christ, right? So those that are saved, whatever the Lord has used you to do, right, their faithful ministry, they will find a blessing, and this would indeed let them to experience, right, the blessings of eternal life. Savor of life. Very true. And then when you talk about them that perish, though, different reaction. In them that perish, if you do things faithfully, no matter what you do, they will still oppose, and this eventually will lead to death for them. It is very true. Very, very true. You know, sometimes you hear a Bible teacher teaches, right? And then after the same sermon finish, and then you go down, and then you hear what people say. Some would say, this is a most wonderful sermon. Most wonderful sermon. Well, this is a balm to my soul. This is something that leads me to the truth. I love it very much. I learned so much from God's word. And then lo and behold, you travel two persons down the road, the other person come and grab you. Hey, I want to talk to you about this particular preacher, you know. He's such a horrible sermon. How can he say such things, you know? And then, throughout the entire life, this is the case. But every time the same person teaching the same things from God's word. Now, one thing that we need to mention is this, okay? Do you know the reverse is also in some sense true? If you have an unfaithful preacher, he come. Those that who are God's people, they would say they want to reject him. How can I have this kind of preaching? Then the group that wants their ears to be tickled, they say, wow, what a wonderful sermon. Same thing also can happen. But now we are talking about faithful preaching, okay? We are talking about faithful preaching from God's word. Faithful witnessing. Faithful ministry. Faithful witness to the people, right? That is the Apostle Paul. You will realize that those whom God have ordained unto salvation, ultimately they will always receive the ministry. The witness which God has find it pleasing to place into you. You are not sufficient for these things. Right? And that's something that you also need to understand. If these people come unto salvation, it's not of you, it's of God. Okay? None is sufficient for this kind of heart-wrenching ministry. Only God can lead you through it. Otherwise, surely, you will fail. In this case, the only way Apostle Paul can go through a ministry is because God led him to. Now, as you go through the ministry, what is your comfort? You must first ingrain in your mind, I must always expect two camps. Two camps in my life. One will be a group that will accept because this is the truth. Another group will also reject because this is the truth. Will always have. And so if you go into service expecting that if you serve faithfully, there will never be opposition, you will surely be troubled. You will always expect opposition, please. You will. And if you cannot accept that, then especially if you are talking about leadership, if you cannot accept that, that there will be opposition, you are not cut out to, you're not called to be in the leadership, because that is something you must accept. But of course, this is not only just in terms of the leadership, right? This Apostle Paul, so that's why we're talking about leadership. But in some sense, also with respect to any Christian, this is the same. You must be prepared to accept that. There will always be people that will receive you, there will always be people that will that will reject you. Those that reject, don't need to feel so hard up about them. Of course, it's sad that they reject. But once you understand that there will be always a group that reject, there will always be this group that will in the end fall away, then when it comes to serving the Lord Jesus Christ, it is so much easier, because now you have this big picture in mind. This is something that will always be. Is it sad? Is it disappointing? Sure. Sure, of course it is. But at the same time, this is exactly what the scripture says, and that this will then be our comfort. There will always be savor of death to them that perish. That is the focus down here. That's why the chiastic structure, Paul wants us to focus on this. Savor of death in them that perish. Because later on, he's going to talk a lot about the false teachers. There will always be this group. But hopefully, all of us here are not in this group. Right? That's what we pray, right? We don't want to see. We want to see people in this group. In them that are safe, right? Savor of life. And as Paul continued to minister, he is very aware who is sufficient for these things. This type of going through this kind of heart-wrenching work, for a person to go through, only the Lord can carry the person through. And only the Lord also can carry you through in your life. That is something you need to understand from God's word. One thing though, you must always abide by this one principle. And this one principle in verse 17 is very important. Well, this is not included in the memory verse for this year. But if you all can memorize verse 17, it's very good for you. Now, what does verse 17 says? For we are not as many. Wow, many. So there are many out there who run contrary to what this verse is saying. Okay, and many of these people, they are in the Corinthian church. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. And here this word corrupt is a very interesting word. It has this picture of somebody who is a hawker. Now, it's not the hawker center, that kind of hawker, okay? No, we're not talking about that. But this kind of hawker is somebody who goes about peddling things. But as he peddles things, the way he tries to sell things is to employ deception in order to sell his goods. Have you met with such people before? I think in Singapore, not so many, unless you are the one of those few who decides to visit Sim Lim Square and then, despite all the warnings put out that this store is a blacklisted store, you still go to the blacklisted store unless you go to these kind of places. Remember a blacklisted store? You remember how a tourist came and then in the end got swindled? The kind of picture is in this world are corrupt. So there will be people who come and do that, not with regards to handphone, but with regards to the word of God. In other words, they will twist the word of God in order to suit their means. If I can twist God's word to party A in order to get advantage of it, I will do so. And then if I can twist God's word with regards to party B to get advantage of them, I will also do so. So when I go to preach to party A and then I go to preach to party A and party B, I make sure I preach different things. And then after that, I get the advantage of them. So they will corrupt God's word in this way. And that is very different from what we see from Paul just now, right? Paul, everywhere he went, consistent message. This one, different. Everywhere they go, different message. In order to get the kind of advantage. And that is what many of the teachers in the Corinthian church were doing. Go to different parties, speak different things in order to get money or power or recognition or whatever they want for them. Don't ever serve like this. You must never serve like this. When we serve, there is only one rule in which we abide by. That one rule is not called relationship. That one rule is called the Word of God. Very important. Never forget that. And the test will come. For example, like in the Golden Calf incident, it will come. But never relationship. Always the Word of God. Whatever is right, whatever is true, that we abide by. The person may be maybe nicest to you as you continue to serve. Maybe your closest friend, whatever. If that particular person in the end turns out to be somebody who goes against the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have to stand on what is right and not with that person. You have to. Because that is what God's word demands us. And that is exactly the principle which the Apostle Paul abide by. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Cannot, with respect to the preaching, with respect to the practice, everything is the same. Only God's word as the sole authority of faith and practice. And we do so of sincerity. Right, sincerity. And this word sincerity, also an interesting word. He has this understanding of taking, last time people have pottery. Now, of course, they don't have the kind of advanced technology that we have now. Now we have pottery, we have all this, microscope, nanoscope, don't know what, picoscope also have. Well, then you can see whether or not there is any flaws in the thing. Until the picoscope, pico is to 10 to the power of negative 12. If you study physics, all this, you will know. 10 to the power of negative 12 meter. Right? Nanoscope, 10 to the power of negative 9. Microscope, 10 to the power of negative 6. Now, 10 to the power of negative 12. Because you have all these atomic microscope, whatever, so you can see. Last time, it's not. Last time, what they did is, they have these experts that will go, they will know how to use the sun. So they will go under very bright sunlight, and then they will examine. Like even today, if you go to all these antique stores, they will know how to examine what is real, what is false. They just put there, they examine. This one is false. Why? Because there's this particular, you see this particular line, this blue pen. This blue pen is not from that particular era. This blue pen is modern. Bluff one, this is a fake one. They will know. So this one here, same. Go there, you examine. Genuine. This one word, sincerity, has that kind of picture. In other words, when put under the examining microscope, nanoscope, picoscope of God, your motive is totally pure. It's sincere. You know that this is what God is pleased with, and that you do. It's not whether what other people say is good or not that matters. It's what God says is correct that matters. Very important. Very, very important. Because we are of God. See that? And in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Who is the one that has called you into service to be a Christian? Is God, isn't it? And so the one that you have to answer to, of course, is God. And God is the one who have appointed Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his associates to speak his word in his sight. And so, who they must abide by must always be the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Christ sight, we speak. Not in anybody's sight, not in the sight of the congregation, not in the sight of the people in the world, not in the sight of anybody, in the sight of God. Very critical, very important. Then you speak the truth. Then you conduct yourself in ministry. Be a workman approved unto God, right? That is the restatement in 1 Timothy. A workman approved unto God. That is the picture. You need to always do what is right. And then when you abide by this principle, then you go about serving the Lord, and the Lord will accept the service. Does that mean no opposition? Always will have. Always will have. But that is the rule which the Apostle Paul conducted himself. And that is the rule which everyone, every single one of us must follow. Very important. That when the apostle, that when your service is examined in your sight. Yes, everybody in the world says, bad service. I don't like him because he caused me this kind of trouble, this kind of trouble, this kind of trouble. Okay, so be it. When God examines, if he says, very good, that is the key. But if your aim is different, your aim is that, like these people who corrupt the word of God, I want everybody to say that he is good because I want to get an advantage of them. then you run contrary to the principle that is found here in God's word. So take note, right? Don't corrupt the word of God, whether in terms of preaching or speaking, or whether in terms of practice. Of course, some will use the modern application of this with regards to the modern versions. Why do modern versions want to translate God's word differently? Well, because why do you think they want to come up with different versions? Have you ever asked yourself, why need so many versions? To sell, right? Isn't it? To sell, right? The more versions, the better, right? And then you tell the people, oh, you need so many versions so that you can have... It's okay, you study the Bible effectively. That's what people will try and tell you. And so, and the same goes also with study Bible. So you have King James Study Bible. Thomas Nelson will have one King James Study Bible. Then, Barber will have another one. Then, Zondervan will also have another one. Everybody will have another one King James Study Bible. And then after that, KJV Minister Study Bible, KJV Sunday School Teachers Bible, KJV Lady Study Bible, KJV... Teens Bible, KJV, whatever Bible, they will come out, right? All these kind of notes, right? Why do you think they want to come out all these things? And each one of them, their so-called interpretation is different. Be very careful. Some of them may be doing this because they want to corrupt the word of God to get an advantage. Be very careful. Okay, be very careful. But important thing for us to take note, especially in the context, is this. Your ministry, which the Lord has committed unto you, examine under the microscope. Is it sincere? Is it pure? Make sure you have a clean conscience before God. That is the most important. Right? Men may sneer, men may jeer, but I will continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ without fail. And when you do that, despite all the problems that may occur, you will experience the comfort of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is exactly, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So may God help you all to understand this truth. Let us pray. I ask Peter James to close us in prayer, okay? Because after that, next week, he will have to close us in prayer from Africa. So Peter James, please close us in prayer.